Good morning. Well, my name is Lisa Hughes. I was born and raised in Orlando. I am what they call a true Floridian. I was raised in a Christian home, but for many years, I didn't realize it was a dysfunctional one due to my father being an alcoholic and all of the negative things that come with that. But with my mom's deep love for the Lord and her God-given strength, the Lord's divine protection shielded us from many things. Upon my parents' divorce when I was in high school, I was told by someone that statistics say I would most likely get divorced and have alcoholic and drug issues as well. That always stuck with me, and I held strong in believing that that would not be the case for me. After seeing up close the struggles my mother went through, it could have caused me to walk away from the Lord and put me on a path that was not designed for me. But I realized I had this quiet, fighting inner strength within me. And I also knew that my mother would have moved heaven and earth to make sure that never happened. Music has always been a big part of my life. I took years of piano lessons, have been singing since I was young, but I never really knew if it would play a major role in my life. So, after dating for just 3 weeks, Bruce and I got engaged, and we were married 6 months later. Don't worry, we were friends before. And that is where I quickly found myself in music ministry, which quite honestly, I never saw myself doing. I never thought I was cut out for it and have wondered about it many times over the years. But indeed, God had other plans. For you see, ministry is not for the faint of heart. But I have to say, I wouldn't change the path that He chose for me. For through the challenges, the sacrifices, and the many blessings of being in ministry, I've learned, sometimes the hard way, how important it is to seek His will for your life on those mountaintops as well as those valleys, to accept that His plan might look completely different than what you could have ever imagined. For He designed the master blueprint for your life, and He always knows what's best. I had to learn to be very flexible, be ready in season and out of season, get way out of my comfort zone, and most of all, never say never. As I've grown in my walk with the Lord, I realize that music has been what has sustained me through life. It's always been a safe place for me. For I learned that when we offer up worship to Him, that's where we find His peace, joy, His strength, His protection, and His sense, and we sense His presence. So today I'd like to just encourage you, each of you, to sing His praises, giving Him all the glory and honor for what He's done in your life, even in those times when it can be hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But if you keep your eyes on Him, putting your trust in Him, casting all your cares upon Him, I can tell you that He always makes a way where there seems to be no way. And lastly, I am very happy to be able to say that after 44 years of marriage, 2 children, 6 grandchildren, and 1 on the way, I defied the negative words that were spoken over me all of those years ago. And for that, I am very truly grateful, thankful, and blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Fantastic. I've known Bruce and Lisa for over 30 years. What a great, great couple. What a blessing they are. All right, let's get our Bibles out, and on the screen you're going to see a verse of Scripture. We're going to continue our series on This Is My Story. Lisa's got a story. You've got a story. Today we're going to look at another story in the Bible. Remember, everyone's got a story. You don't like sometimes a story that you've been given, but everybody's story matters to God. So this has been a great joy all year, looking at the different stories and hearing from people in the church and hearing your story. And it's been a real, real blessing. Today we're going to look at a woman's story that in over 40 years of ministry, I have never read this verse of Scripture. It must be deleted from my Bible. Like, I'm serious. Where did this come from? Why have I never read this? It's a story of, and I call her the woman of Nain. And it's in Luke chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 11 through 17. And today's message is how to live a beautiful life in troubled times. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him in. And the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. My Sunday school teachers never taught me this story. The preachers and pastors that I sat under for all these years, they never read me this story. I've never heard of the woman of Nain. I've never heard of the town of Nain. I've never read it. So the first time in my life, I'm reading this. It's a fascinating story. Although there's a couple of things that bother me about it. And I'm not mad. I just learned to read the Bible and then maybe at times ask questions and look at it a little bit differently. So this is the first time I've ever read this portion of Scripture. First thing that comes to my mind as I'm reading the story is, did she have a name? Why do you not put her name in the story? What was his name? What was the boy's name? Why did he die? How did he die? Why did he have to die? Why pile on a widow and take his only son? Why did Jesus say to this widow, who obviously had lost her husband, now lost her son, and his words were, "Don't cry"? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just trying to read a story for the first time in my life. And the question is, like, don't cry? What do you mean, don't cry? What else am I supposed to do? I'm a widow, and now my son has just died, and we're getting ready to bury him. And I appreciate that you saw me, and I appreciate that you recognized me, and I appreciate that you came and talked to me, but don't cry? These are some of the questions I have as I read stories I've never read before. I'm not second guessing, I'm not judging, I'm just making an observation. There's some things in the Bible that like are difficult, and this one is difficult. But I'm glad today that we can tackle difficult topics and we can not sidestep things. I haven't avoided this scripture, I've never seen it. Now I know why I haven't heard about it. Because people don't want to talk about widows' sons dying. People don't want to talk about Jesus saying to someone who's grieving, don't cry. People don't want to, it's uncomfortable and it's painful. And so today I'm going to just try my best, and I can't answer every question because some of these questions I don't know why. But we're going to try to look at this and just see how we can get a little bit of hope today as we follow Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. The word Nain, that city Nain, is an interesting word. It means beautiful. And at first, there is nothing beautiful about this story. It sucks. Widowed son dies, and it's not a beautiful story, but it ends well, and it ends beautiful. And it ends, watch this, in people glorifying God. I pray that when you are walking through troubled times like this woman, she doesn't have a name, I don't know why. If I would have written it, I would have given her a name. Didn't have a name. When you're walking through tough times, Jesus can be counted on. And he may say things to you sometimes you don't understand, but you can count on Jesus. And it is possible for you and I to live life and navigate through life, difficulty, and it still be beautiful. This is beautiful because in the end, the Bible says that everybody in the town was glorifying and praising God. Oh, here's another question that I have when I read this. Didn't Jesus tell us that we were supposed to raise the dead? In Matthew chapter 10, when was the last time you heard about someone being raised from the dead? Happens in Africa, I hear. But I've been in church all my life. I've never seen a dead person raised. Why aren't dead people being raised by Christians? I don't know. I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. I've never once thought, maybe we should pray that they are raised again. I don't know. Look it up. You look it up. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Heal those with leprosy. Freely you have received. Freely give. Boy, that was awkward. So how do we live a life that honors God when we're going through troubled times? I want you to remember, it's beautiful to remember, number one, God will always take time to notice you. I love this in Luke chapter 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of a mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd followed from the town, was with her, and he saw her. I do like this part. The mob, the crowd, the people screaming, watch this. And yet in all of that drama, watch this, Jesus saw her. He knew what was going on. He knew the details. He knew what had taken place, and he saw her. And I think every once in a while, it's important for all of us to be reminded that God sees you. You're not lost in the crowd. You're not forgotten. You're not overlooked. You're not bypassed. In the middle of this crazy scene, the Bible says that Jesus saw her. Reminds me of a beautiful story in Genesis chapter 16, a woman by the name of Hagar. Her name means to fly away. And boy, she wanted to fly away. Why? Because she got pregnant by Abraham. She was an illegal immigrant. She was an alien. She had no money, and she got kicked out of her house. And she's running for her life. And in the midst of all this drama that's taking place in Hagar's life, she's running, and an angel of the Lord appeared to her and said something really beautiful. Hagar, where are you going and where are you coming from? And she had to answer that. And then the angel revealed himself as God, El Rohi. Watch this. The God who sees me. When you're grieving, when you're in pain, when you are depressed, when you are suicidal, when you are at the end of your rope and you don't think that anyone cares for you, I've got great news for you. It's beautiful. God notices you, and you're not alone. He sees you. It's beautiful. Number two, I think another lesson that we can learn from this is that it's beautiful, remember, that God not only sees you and notices you, but number two, it's beautiful to remind yourself that God can be trusted in your darkest days. Says Luke 7:13, he saw her and his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Now let's stop this for a moment. When was your darkest day that you can remember? Was it the day that your parents got divorced? Was it the day that you lost your job? Was it the day that you lost a child? A day it was announced that you have cancer? The day the attorney called you and say you're being sued? I don't know what your darkest day is. I know mine. And it's beautiful to remember that God not only sees us, but he can be trusted in our darkest, darkest days. Now, what I don't understand about the story is that in our darkest days, I think one of the only thing you can do is cry. The Bible talks about David crying until he had no more strength left. You ever been there? Where you can't even talk, you can't even articulate, you can't even, the only thing you do is cry. And if I would have written this story, I would have had Jesus come in, I would be the director, and I would have Jesus come in the scene, and I would have Jesus say, "It's okay to cry." Because sometimes when you're in your darkest moments, the only thing you can do is to cry. God, why me? God, why now? God, why him? Why her? Why me? What's going on? And the only thing you can do is cry. And then when those moments hit your life, and if you hadn't had one of those moments, I pray you never will. Chances are you will. No one escapes through life in a broken world unscathed. No one. And you think that, and even in Proverbs and Psalms, it talks about why do the rich always get away with everything, and I'm getting dumped on. And this widow woman could have said that and thought that. I'm a widow. All I've got is my son, and now you've taken my son? In those darkest days, the only thing you can do is cry. But when you are crying, you are declaring, God, I trust you. I trust you. And today, if you're here today and you're in a dark moment, God can be trusted. Can I get an amen? See, Charles Spurgeon said this, to trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust him in the dark, that is faith. Beth Moore says this, faith is not believing in my own unshakable belief. Faith is believing in unshakable God when everything in me trembles and quakes. See, church, our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in God. And God is unshakable. And it is okay to cry. And in your darkest moments, God can be trusted. Number three, you still with me? It's beautiful to remember that God will always notice you. It's beautiful to remember that God can be trusted in our darkest days. Number three, it's beautiful to remember that when we stop and stand still, God will help us. When we stop, God will stop and help us. Look at Luke 14, verse 15. And then he went up and touched the casket that they were carrying on him. And the bearers stood still. Everyone say still just for a moment. Still. We're all way too busy. Too much going on. A lot of movement. A lot of activity. A lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of meetings. We're too busy. And God, through Jesus, had to wait until the pallbearers were still. I would suggest to you today that I know you're waiting on God, but I think God is waiting on you to stand still. Stop. Slow down. Spend a few minutes in quiet, in silence, and be still. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. When you and I are still, a revelation of God can take place. But if you are moving and you have action and you're not taking time to be still, you'll never get the revelation that God wants to reveal to you. Be still and know that I'm God. I would challenge you this week, if you want to see a miracle in your life, in your finances, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your lawsuit, whatever it is, learn the beautiful gift of stillness. Because the miracle didn't happen until the pallbearers were still. Be still. It's okay not to do anything. It's okay to sit in a chair and look up. It's okay to sit outside and relax. It's okay, like I did on Halloween, to... See, if I was busy getting up and down, going to the front door, handing out candy, I would have missed something. But I was still. And God wants you to be still. And by the way, I got to tell Tammy when I get home about that, but be still. The miracle didn't happen until there was stillness, and they stopped. And as soon as they stopped, Jesus said to the man, young man, I command you to get up, be healed. And immediately the man arose. Be still. Number four, you still with me? Let's talk about, let me give you real quick, St. Isaac of Syria. If you love truth, be a lover of stillness or silence. Silence is like the sunlight. It will illuminate you in God. J. Brent Bill says this, when we discover the secret of being inwardly at worship, while outwardly at work, we find that the soul's silence brings us to God and God to us. Silence or stillness takes us beyond the limits of consciousness and into the heart and the mind and the will of God. Be still and allow God to speak into your situation today. Number four. It's beautiful to remember that God will be honored by our awe and our sacrificial worship. I want you to notice the first reaction. Luke 17, verse 16. And they all were filled with awe and praise God. A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. What a beautiful reaction. Their reaction, everyone, circle that word awe, everybody, the boy, the mom, everybody in the town, their first act was an act of worship and sacrificial praise to God. Look what John Ortenberg says. I need to worship because without it, I can forget that I have a big God besides me and live in fear. I need to worship because without it, I can forget his calling and begin to live in a spirit of self-preoccupation. I need to worship because without it, I lose a sense of wonder and gratitude and plod through life with blinders on. I need to worship because my natural tendency is towards self-reliance and stubborn independence. We need to worship. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jack Hafer said this, worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshiped. And A.W. Tozier says this, without worship, we go about miserable. I pray that your reaction when God speaks into your life and performs a miracle, your first reaction is, God, I worship you. God, I give you the credit. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. You deserve it, God. I give it to you. A heart filled with worship. The whole town started worshiping Jesus. Good things happen in the city of Nain when people begin to worship and honor God. Can I get an amen? And then number five, Bruce, you can go to the keyboard. Number five, it's beautiful to remember that God will receive all the credit and all the glory. God receives all the credit and all the glory. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Ann Graham Lott said this, our ultimate aim in life is not to be healthy, wealthy, prosperous, or problem-free. Our ultimate aim in life is to bring glory to God. Warren Wiersbe says this, Daniel gave all the glory to God. He took none of it for himself. There is no limit to what God will do for the believer who will let God have all the glory. I hope today that when God does show up and bring a miracle in your life, that you don't take credit for it, that you give God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. God, I honor you. This story started out really, really in a rough place. It ends in a beautiful way. God, I give you glory. God, I give you all the credit. God, do you be the glory. Thank you for what you did. I trust you. I believe in you. Even in troubled times, I trust you. And you get all the glory and all the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to pray for people real quick. We got a few more minutes. World Series is over, so don't worry. You don't have to go home and watch.